Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's 2 days later, still my Valentine, every day to come.
Hallelujah. Well, we're heading toward our next anniversary.
That's it, March 4th. Hallelujah.
All right.
22 days, it'll be 47 years.
Wow.
But I want you to know Jesus is still asking the same question he asked on Valentine's Day. Will you be mine?
That's
Think
right.
About it. You know, one of the wisest decisions we could ever make is to get our, well, just to rid our lives of fear.
Mm.
Just think what we could accomplish if we didn't have to deal with fear. Fear of failure holds people back, keeps them from maximizing their potential for success. And the bottom line, honey, fear
does not come from God.
No, it doesn't.
2 Timothy 1:17, familiar. 2 Timothy 1 verse 17 says in the Amplified, Classic Amplified Bible, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control."
Here are seven quick truths found in that verse. First, we said in a moment ago, fear doesn't come from God.
Second, God does not want you timid. He doesn't want you to be a coward when it comes to expressing your godly opinions and doing what's right. And he doesn't want you cringing about the things you think could go wrong.
Wow. Third, God has given each of us a special gift dispensation.
Fourth, God has given you a spirit. Listen to this now. God has given you a spirit of power, the strength to overcome anything and everything.
Wow.
That's powerful.
It is.
Wow, powerful.
Fifth, God wants, well, he always wants us acting in love.
Sixth, God wants our lives to be calm, not living in the tyranny of the urgent, and with a well-balanced mind.
And seventh, God wants us living a life disciplined by the word, exercising self-control over the temptations of the enemy.
One way, honey, that I fight the enemy is I think I am not giving him the satisfaction. I'm not giving him the satisfaction of not doing things God's way.
That's good. So, as you can see, there's much more to this verse than just overcoming fear. Scripturally speaking, there is no doubt God wants us to prosper, and he wants to prosper you. If you don't do that last statement, I strongly recommend you start back reading Genesis 1:1 and continue through the word until you're convinced of the truth that we've just spoken from his word. As you read the word, you'll discover that God is empowering each of us to make wise decisions, not only in our personal lives, but in our professional lives as well.
In every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. Here are seven keys to making wise decisions. Number one, what does God say about your problem or opportunity?
We could be teaching two chairs all over again,
couldn't
we?
Yes, we could. Your first concern prior to making a business decision should be, what does God think? It's his advice that you must covet and desire more than any other.
Judges 18 verse 5 says, "And they said unto him, Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that he may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous." The contemporary English version of that scripture says, "Please talk to God for us," the men said. "Ask God if we will be successful in what we are trying to do." That's good wisdom.
It is. The scripture details the criteria for us finding a person with the right financial instructions every time.
Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This again in the Classic Amplified Bible. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, and probably talk.
That's true. But
it says where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, and the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night.
Number two, what advice are you receiving from your circle of friends and advisors? Now, this may seem like a conflicting, well, conflicting a little bit after our discussion on that first key, but it's not. If God didn't want you seeking the opinion of counselors and advisors, he wouldn't put so many verses in the Bible saying just that.
What he's wanting us to do is get godly counsel, not just walking next door to your next door neighbor. Proverbs 15:22, of course, unless he's a strong Christian and a mentor. Proverbs 15, verse 22, the New Living Translation says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. And Proverbs 24, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified says, for by wise counsel you can wage your war, and in an abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. Let me tell you about the kind of person you don't want around. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Maybe I should have said it this way. Let me tell you, let the Lord and the Word tell you about the kind of person you don't want to.
That's right. It's not your opinion.
That's it.
It's the Word.
Believe me, it's not my opinion. It's what God says. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Classic Amplified. Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, association, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. Wow. We need people around us who can encourage, exhort, edify, lift us up, build us up in the Word of God. But we also need people who can see our blind spots.
One more thing. Don't ask circular questions. What is a circular question? Well, it's the kind that leads you around in circles with no apparent answer. For instance, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Maximize your conversation with your advisors. And always, always let them know how blessed you are by their valuable input.
Which, by the way, I know the answer to that.
Which?
The chicken, because God made chickens. And they laid eggs. Sorry. Had to throw that in.
I married a wise woman.
Oh, there you go.
Number three, prior proper planning precedes positive performance. Now, here's the rest of the story. Prior proper planning precedes positive performance and progress, preventing possible problems, precipitating powerful, practical, precise, philosophical participants with perfect proverbial pontifications, possibly.
Oh, wow.
Took me a bit to write all that.
I bet you.
I did it years ago, though. Have you done your homework, your due diligence? Then listen to this.
In Luke 14:28 in the Living Bible, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if he has enough money to pay the bills? Have you counted the cost?
Researched, crunched numbers, role-played various scenarios and possible?
That's a good question.
And if you want to make a wise decision, you can actually do number four. Use the Ben Franklin method on your possibilities. Brainstorm and ask as many questions as possible about your situation, problem, or opportunity. When faced with an important decision, Benjamin Franklin would take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the center of the paper, and on the top left-hand side, he'd write reasons for this decision. On the right-hand side, he would write reasons against this decision. He would number each reason, and at the end of the process, would make his decision based on which side of the page had the highest number listed. But the important point is to be able to look at both sides of a question. My version, our version of Benjamin Franklin's method, utilizes scriptures for each reason for and against a particular decision.
That's better. Hallelujah.
Don't second guess. Number five. How will you make a decision? Well, maybe ask it this way. How will the decision you make or don't make affect your future and the goals that you've established for 2019?
Hallelujah.
Never allow the enemy to cause you to second guess yourself. The enemy's goal is to create doubt and confusion. He is the enemy of clarity and decisive action.
And God is the absolute possessor of peace of mind and heart.
Absolutely. It's also important to avoid procrastination of any kind for whatever reason. It's even more important that you don't second guess God's direction.
Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30, 5 and 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "The believer replied, every promise of God proves true. He protects everyone who runs to him for help. So don't second guess him. He might take you to task and show up your lies."
Wow.
I'm thinking that, okay, that's interesting.
Strong. Always monitor your decisions, but once made, press toward the mark to prize the high calling. Number seven, seven things to energize your life once your decision is made.
It's number six, I think.
Number six. You're right.
We're really getting ahead here.
Yeah. First, eat breakfast.
Second, make decisions early in the day while you're fresh.
Third, start with your most difficult task first each morning.
Fourth, manage your time, which is your life.
Fifth, have some fun along the way.
Amen. Sixth, routinely schedule breaks, like get up and walk around or have a little exercise.
Right. Seventh, roll with the flow when it works for you. Create your own flow when it doesn't. And one other thing, be more concerned about what goes on inside your head than what someone does to the outside of your head.
There you go.
Number seven, what is the Holy Spirit revealing to you about your opportunity or problem?
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Very familiar scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your path.
Hallelujah.
And then in John 15, verses 4 and 5, John 15, 4 and 5 in the Living Bible, it says, "Take care to live in me and let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit, for apart from me you can't do a thing."
I like Romans 8:14, baby. 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Amen.
And we love the Message Bible translation of that verse, Romans 8:14. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go.
How about that?
Well, I think that's the perfect verse to end this call with. It's about time for your business to be about your business, which is actually God's business.
There you go.
That's how you make wise decisions. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com up at the top where it says, "Sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow." Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.